Now, aging is inevitable, but we can have the potential to age better than ever before. Having travelled the globe to meet the pioneers who are redefining aging, Carl Honoré explores the cultural, medical and technological trends that will help us make the most of our longer lives. And he's here to share the information he's found with us. Welcome to the show, Carl.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Now, we are living longer. We all know that. But are we living healthier too?
We are, as it happens, yeah. We're pushing the length of the average lifespan, but we're also carving up more healthier years at the end for most people. Of course, you know, as with so many things, it depends on, you know, sort of social class and things. So there'll be, you know, parts of Europe, for instance, where people are not living longer, and when they are living longer, they're less healthy. But across the board, generally, things are looking up.
Mm. It's a good thing. It can be quite daunting, can't it, aging? I mean, I worry. I'm only just 50, but I worry. So I'm sure somebody sort of a decade or two older than me must be quite frightened of getting old.
Well, I think we're all frightened of getting old, actually. I'm 51 myself, and I wish I'd written this book 20 years ago when I was 30, because I arrived in my early 30s with just a chamber of horrors view of getting older. It just seemed to me an endless decline, a downward spiral of, you know, dementia and depression and decrepitude and decline. And I think that's the story we're always being told in this culture of, you know, the cult of youth that we live in, that everything about growing older is bad, when it's clearly not. I mean, clearly we lose some things as we grow older, but many, many things stay the same. And many things actually get better. And that's what blew me away when I did the research, because I started, as I said, with such a bleak view of later life. And then as soon as I began not only just traveling around and meeting people and talking to them and seeing what they were doing, you know, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years older than I was, but also doing the research and crunching the numbers and looking at the science, and you can only come away with one conclusion, which is that, you know, there are a lot of upsides to growing older.
So to cheer us all up, what are those upsides? What did you find out?
Oh, well, for instance, I mean, we're always told that, you know, happiness is for the youth and older people are sort of sad and cantankerous and miserable and so on. But actually, if you look at the figures across the world, the adult group that reports the highest levels of happiness and well-being and life satisfaction are the over 60s.
Mm.
Another thing that we're always told is that, you know, learning and doing new things is for the young. But that old adage that you can't teach an old dog new tricks, it's not even true of dogs, right? I mean, people go on learning new things right up to the very end. And you know, not just physical things, but, you know, intellectual things. We carry on having all kinds of cognitive strength and horsepower. That creativity that we're always told as well belongs to youth. You know, Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook famously or infamously once said, young people are just smarter, right?
Oh,
which,
gosh,
I think snails what we feel about the generation divide, but it's so untrue, because actually people, if you look at just the entrepreneurial world, for instance, the people who are setting up the most successful startups are not, you know, fueled 20-somethings eating pizza and sleeping under their desk in garages. They are middle-aged people and older who are setting up the most successful startups across the world. So again, once you just start pulling away the curtain of prejudice and looking what's behind, you realize that there is so much to look forward to in older life. And actually, the other side of this equation, of course, is that the problem with a culture that tells us that older is always worse and that aging is a terrible, shameful business, that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So if you believe, one thing is very clear, if you believe that growing older will be bad, it will be bad, right?
Yeah,
because
sure,
physically you will age less well, you cognitively, emotionally, all those things. If you have a bad view of the next decade, that next decade is probably going to suck.
Mm, yeah, it's all about attitude, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I wouldn't say it's all about attitude. I mean, clearly we do change as we grow older and we do lose things. You know, you're going to lose a bit of, you know, physical strength, stamina, speed, you know, a bit of cognitive zip, some of the, you know, memory, short-term memory particularly won't work as well for a lot of people. But other things will hold up. And beyond that, the whole question of attitude is crucial, but it's not everything. I mean, let's be honest here. Some people can have the most amazingly upbeat attitude, and aging may do ghastly things to them. Sometimes it's the luck of the draw, and genetics play a part too. But the bottom line for most people is that if you enter into your 30s, 40s, and 50s and beyond with a sunny outlook, you know, if you focus on the good and try to make the most of it, then you stand a very good chance of having an amazing time, right?
Yeah.
Whatever generation you're in, whatever decade you're in.
Yeah, you are correct. And I think I meant, you know, attitude helps. Of course, some people might be iller as they get older. They might not have any loved ones around them. So, of course, it is, like you say, it's the luck of the draw. It can be about genetics, about health, about lots of other things.
Yeah.
But it does help to be a bit more positive. I mean, I was looking at some stats and, yes, I know these are well-known people and they've probably got a lot more money than the rest of us, but people like Clint Eastwood is still directing in his 70s. Jane Goodall, she's travelling around the world in her 80s to deliver lectures on the chimpanzees in Tanzania. So, you know, we can do a lot more than we used to in the olden days.
Exactly. And Sir David Attenborough, you know, who was just off throwing people off about climate change in his 90s the other day. I mean, the examples are all around us. They abound. And they've always been there throughout history. If you think of Michelangelo, you know, painting The Last Judgment onto the wall of the Sistine Chapel in his 60s. I mean, people have always been able to do this. But what's changed now is that we are actually entering a golden age of aging. Right, this is the best time in human history to be older for all of the reasons that, you know, that are all around us when we open our eyes and actually take a look. The medical technology is so much better. The fact that there are more older people in the world, I think, changes the dynamic. It's changing the way we feel about later life, because, you know, when you now switch on Instagram or pick up the television or look at a movie, you're seeing more and more older actors and actresses, more and more older people doing things, and that kind of starts to take down the old view that it's all, you know, elasticated waistbands and rocking chairs and dribbling in the corner of a nursing home as soon as you pass 55, which, you know, it's never really been. But I think that's that awful view that we give ourselves. And just coming back to that point, if I may, you talked about the importance of attitude. I'll just give you one example I think that really nails it. They did some research looking at people who were born with the gene variant that makes you more likely to develop dementia in later life. And they found that in that group of people, those who had an optimistic, upbeat view of aging were 50% less likely to develop dementia than those who had a downbeat view.
So
there, in a nutshell, is it is a perfect example of how, you know, looking at the bright side, as it were, and not in a Pollyanna, you know, I mean, refusing to see the dark side. Of course there's a dark side, but trying to focus on the upside and making the most of that upside is going to pay off handsomely, right? It'll avoid that self-fulfilling prophecy of thinking it's going to be bad and therefore it will be bad.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think a lot of people in their sort of later lives as well, that there must be the fear of death. Yes, you can live a positive life and live life to the full, but you must be aware that you're coming to the end of your life.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, the awareness of death. It is a double-edged sword. I think it's a much scarier thing for younger people. In fact, when they look at the statistics, the surveys and so on, the older people get, the less afraid they tend to be of death. The closer it becomes, the less worrying we find it. And the other thing about death and the prospect of dying is that it can actually have a very helpful effect on the way we live our lives. You look across all religion, you know, old religion, you know, Buddhism and so on, or the Romans had death meditations. They wanted people from every age to contemplate death several times a day, or once a day, or at least sometimes a week. Why? Because when you think about death, what that reminds you of is that your life is bookended, that it does have an end. And what does that do? It encourages people to focus on the here and now and to make the most of the time that they have in front of them. And that tends to be the way it plays out, that as you become more and more aware of your own mortality, I suppose some people will, you know, curl up into a ball and not be able to cope with that. But by and large, people will be an upbeat payoff from that, in the sense that people will start to, you know, think more positively about the here and now and to make more of it. I'm still hopefully a long way away from meeting my maker in my early 50s. But when I was doing the research for the book, in order to get a sense of that, what thinking about death more would do and how it would shape my view of my everyday, I downloaded an app called We Croak. I have it on my phone still, and it sends me five times a day. It sends me a little quote from someone like, I don't know, Margaret Atwood or or Kierkegaard or somebody about death. Remind you that you are mortal, right? It's like a little memento mori that comes blurping up on your screen as a notification. And it sounds a little bit morbid, but it's not actually. I began to find that it shifts my center of gravity a little bit. It made me look at my daily life and some of the things that I found immensely frustrating. It made me see the bigger picture and think, you know what? it's okay if I have to stand in this queue for 15 minutes at the bank, or you know, my eyes are failing and I'm struggling to read a menu in a dimly lit restaurant. That's not the end of the world, right? And I think there's something about that awareness of death that, you know, of course, nobody wants to die, but I think, again, we can sort of rotate mortality around and look at it from another side and think, well, actually, you know what? It may help us make more of the time we actually have here.
Good point. Well made. I like the old adage, older and wiser.
Yeah. And I think there's, I mean, I tend to shy away from saying that aging automatically makes us wiser, because let's face it, in all of our social circles, we know older people who are not very wise at all, right? and I know plenty of young people who are immensely wise. So it's not a kind of guaranteed thing that as you get older, you get wise. But what does happen as you get older, as a general rule, is that people get better at seeing the bigger picture. They get better socially at reading other people, connecting the dots, problem-solving skills improve. So if you put all of that together, I suppose you could argue that there is a wisdom dividend, but let's be honest, not everybody cashes it in as they get older.
We've been through far more experiences than the young people, though, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly. And experience is hugely useful. I mean, that's anyone who knows anything about problem solving knows that experience helps you build up a database of patterns, things you've seen before. And pattern recognition is the way that we solve problems very often. You spot things, you think, okay, I've seen something a little bit like that. I can see a way around this obstacle here because I've been through three or four experiences that are similar. So yeah, of course, there's so much that older people can bring to the table. And in the workplace especially, you know, where the workplace is so ageist nowadays, you know, it's all about being finished at 40 and people being pushed onto the retirement track in their late 40s and early 50s. When in fact, as we get older, we have so much more to bring in many cases. So many of the skills that really light up the workplace, things like, you know, general knowledge and understanding of the way the world works, vocabulary, expertise, those things don't even reach your peak until you're in your 50s, right? Which is a time when many people are getting shunted out of the workplace. So there's we're committing folly on a grand scale by making the workplace a place that is inimical or hostile to older people. We should be, and in fact we are, in fact more and more companies now are wising up to the fact that older staff are very useful to have on board. I mean, just one example is that they did some research looking at suggestion boxes, when companies place suggestion boxes in the workplace, and they found that the best suggestions come from older staff, right? And the best ones tend to come from the over 55. So, you know, the statistics and the research is all there to make a very cogent an uplifting case.
Well, I shall be playing this interview back to my boss anytime now, Keith. Just to make sure he's aware. The book is called Making the Most of Our Longer Lives. It's by Carl Honoré, who we're speaking to now. It's out now. You can buy it from our website, tre.radio. And you have a website as well, Carl?
I do, yes. It's just my name, Carl Honoré. So CARLHONORE. And it's all about the book Boulder and all the other stuff I've done. There's loads of stuff up there. And I'd love to hear from people, too, because the more we talk about this, the easier it's going to be for everybody to feel good about going forward.
Yeah.
We need to get these stories out there.
Yeah, an important subject. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Bye-bye.